You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za. Chicago, and does anybody really know what time it is? Well, I do know what time it is. It is 4:10, and it's time for us to say hello to Steve Reed, who's in the studio on the Entrepreneur Zone. And this afternoon, he's going to be talking about five choices for blowing the doors off business as usual. Hello, Steve.
Hello, hello, Richard, and hello, listeners. Indeed, so I am going to bring the books that I share about with me, and there's the cover there, Richard. And the book that I refer to is a book by Kevin and Jackie Freiberg. They write this book called Boom, and in the original it's Seven Choices for Blowing the Doors of Business as Usual, but because of time, etc., I've limited it to five.
Okay.
So I want to start by just reading perhaps two paragraphs of the insert. It says this: when you realize your career is a result of choices and not conditions, the effect is absolutely liberating. You begin to think big and you act bold. You become impassioned and engaged. Co-workers look to you for leadership and inspiration. You close the gap between the corporate culture you envision and the one in which you work. In a word, you become indispensable. And they talk about the most amazing thing that we have that's in our grasp, and that is the power of choice. So we're going to dig in a little bit about these five choices. And I think it's going to be helpful for business owners, mm-hmm. for entrepreneurs, aspiring entrepreneurs, but also for the broader listeners who
generally in life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So listeners, here's something that they start off with, which I so love. They say, you are designed to choose and you are defined by your choices. They go on to say, the freedom to choose may be the most powerful attribute and precious resource in your life. It shapes who you become, how you express yourself, the success you achieve, and your influence in the world. Amazing. We have this power of choice, but we don't always exercise it. We sometimes go back into a bit of a victim mold, and they challenge this. You know, they say that over 70% of people in the workplace are disengaged. That means that they are physically present, but in almost every other domain, they're not there. They're there because they need the money, etc. And that's not a way to live life. Now, that doesn't mean pack up your bags and leave work, etc., you know, but it does mean that you can do some things that will change your life today and into tomorrow. So here are five choices, listeners. And this first one, I'm sure Richard's going to comment, and is, I choose to be a player. Now remember, this is an American type context, and they're talking more in the context of a sport,
mm-hmm.
not in you know, the thought of a person who's a player romantically.
I'm glad you qualified that. Thank when you, you mentioned me first.
In the game of life, there are players and there are those who shrink from their God-given abilities. So what are these players like? They charge onto the field with passion, with energy, and a desire to win. Sometimes they get their hands dirty, their faces sweaty, and their bodies bloody and bruised by giving their all to the game. 2 weeks ago, I spoke about the Springboks. Mm. I've never seen a match where they don't, at the end, look battered, bruised, and bloody. And the reason is they bring their all to the game of rugby. And the question is, why don't we bring our all to the game of life? So the first one is to say, I choose to play in that game of life. And Richard, here is a picture, it's actually a video as well, but of a traffic cop called Tony Laporte.
Mm-hmm.
And he is in the New York borough, one part of it. I think it's called Providence. And he's an ordinary guy. He reached retirement. But there's something extraordinary about his choice. He made the choice to come to work differently. And what I mean by that is he was someone who, during his duties, he would have to direct traffic. You know, the traffic in New York can be horrific. And most people get affected by the traffic. And what he chose to do was to dance to work, at work. He would break out the moves of Michael Jackson or, you know, some other famous dancers. And what it did, you know, at first people were saying, what's happening? And then they realized that he was actually directing traffic, halting people, letting the pedestrians go, etc., but doing it with a bit of pizzazz, doing it differently, doing it as the title of the book, not as usual, but unusually. And as a result of that, it had an effect upon people. What would happen is, like most of us, we would have been getting tense with this jolly traffic, etc. And here you come to this traffic cop, and he's not doing the norm. He's breaking out the moves. I mean, you know, he was brought in after retirement, and he still carried on doing it. And it just raised the temperature in a good way of those who were there, the pedestrians and the traffic. So much so that there was a copycat of that in our own roads in Gauteng. I think the lady's name, the traffic cop's name was Mabel, and she also would dance, etc. But make no mistake, she was not an easy, you know, go ahead, etc. She would face up to it, to a taxi, for example, who was trying to push in and get them to go back. What's the point? The point is that anyone within their workplace, within their life, can make a choice to be someone who is a player in the workplace. Then the second...
I just want to come back to that because there's risk associated with that.
Yep.
In both of those environments. Because New York, probably the angriest people in the world live there. Okay? So you run a risk of being, you know, some getting out of the car and giving you a smack, but he still took the risk.
Yeah.
Over time, that risk dissipates, and the same with Johannesburg. Johannesburg taxis are not to be messed with, but there she is in that risk environment doing something different, and over time, I bet those taxis now do respect her.
Exactly that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lovely point. Mm. And so, listeners, maybe a way of applying that is to think, okay, I'm not going to dance at work, but how can I bring myself to work in such a way that I'm engaged? I'm not part of that 70%. Mm. I show up and add value.
As risky as it may be.
As risky as it may be. And talking about that, the second choice is I choose to be accountable. And by that, I'm going to elaborate. They, Jackie and Kevin Freiberg, by the way, they're both doctors, but doctors of business. They say using "I don't have authority, it's not my job," is an excuse for doing nothing. Leadership is neither a title nor a position. It's a choice. That's interesting. Mm. I will lead where I am planted. You know, we want to wait until we're planted in the best situation. No. Grow where you're planted. Bring it when you're planted. My happiness, my job satisfaction, my sense of accomplishment, and ultimate success depend on me, not them. Accountability. When I refuse to shift the responsibility for these things to someone else, I stop being a victim. I recognize that the real opponent, and we're talking about in the business context, is out there among our competitors, not in here among my teammates. That means my attitude is one of collaboration. People can be foolish, stupid, abrasive, insensitive, self-centered, and dishonest. In other words, your response, your choice, is not dependent on someone else. I will not be held hostage by anger and resentment. I will forgive. And I think you've seen this picture before, and we may have discussed it before as well. But there, this picture, photo, during the Vietnam War, is of a whole lot of children, five little children, running down the road in a Vietnam village with Marines in the background, soldiers in the background. And right smack bang in the middle is a naked little girl. Her name is Kim Phuc, P-H-U-C. And the photographer won the Pulitzer Prize for this. But it's a shocking photo. And the reason is that this child, she's probably playing, etc., in the village, and the American forces thought that the enemy was in the village, and they bombed it, but with this
napalm bombs,
and that burns. It's a horrific thing. And this girl, this 11-year-old, was running down the road shouting in her native Vietnamese, too hot, because, I mean, not only did she lose her family, but all the clothes were burnt off her, you know, and burnt into her. She was taken to hospital, and, you know, a kind of degree of burns on her. They didn't know whether she would survive. But after 18 months or so of treatment and back and forth, she did survive and she did grow. And Richard, there's a picture, and listeners, there's a picture of Kim as a mother holding her own child. And the photo is of her with her back towards you, holding a child, and you're looking over her shoulder, but you're looking at her shoulder as well. And you can see how terribly, at maybe 20 years, 25 years later,
still scarred.
They're absolutely scarred, the whole body. Anyway, remember that this choice was about choosing to be accountable, choosing to choose not to be, my life is dependent because you, I hold something against you. She became a spokesperson for UNESCO, and as a result of that, she would travel a lot. And in one of these speeches that she gave, a journalist came up to her trying to get a story, and he said to her, Kim, what would you do? This is a terrible thing that happened to you. What would you do if you were confronted with the person who dropped that bomb, the pilot? You know, what would you do? Would you, and the question, listeners, is, would you get your own back? Would you? And this woman did something amazing. She said, I would grab him by the hands and say, I've suffered enough and no one else needs to suffer. Let's both make the choice that this never happens again. What would she be doing? Whether he chose to, whatever his choices were, her choice was, you know what? I'm releasing this. I'm forgetting it. So, Richard, this lady still has the scars. But you know what? Inside, where it really matters, she doesn't have scars. And I meet up with people who have got no scars on the outside, but my goodness, they are impeded. They are restricted because of the choice not to forgive. Third choice, listeners, is I choose service over self-interest. I have a strong suspicion, Richard, that most of the people of the family of Zone Radio have a strong dose of this. Those that contribute in terms of being announcers and DJs and doing interviews, I think they have this in spades. The world, listeners, is not here to make me happy. My happiness comes from using my gifts to serve the world. To give unselfishly is to gain immeasurably. I've tasted a little bit of this. I don't always get it right, but I, as you know, I like writing and I am on radio, but I choose to do that because it's a way of giving back. I choose service. And I want to tell you a story. You can see I'm trying to weave stories into this of a young boy called Teddy Stoddart. And Teddy Stoddart joined the class of Miss Jean Thompson in grade one. In other words, this was the third class. And he, frankly, he came to school. He was unkempt. His hair was never brushed. He was sullen. He was unresponsive. And the kids would mock him. And his marks were terrible. He would just sit alone in the class. And Miss Thompson kind of, you know, she said, you know, I love all the kids. But she'd actually kind of thought, you know, with the exception of Teddy. But she should have known better. She should have looked at the records. Because if she looked at the records, she would have found 2 or 3 years before her class, the first record was, you know, Teddy is such a lovely little boy. He's, you know, he's so participative. He's a delight to teach. He's bright. And then there was a mention, but his mother is ill. Next year, the year after that, Teddy is trying his best, but he's kind of not coping very well. His mother has passed away, and his father is trying to make ends meet, etc. And it was from that basis that he'd come into her class. Mm. And when she read that, she kind of thought, oh my goodness, this thing about are you here to serve yourself or are you here to serve others? And she did a 180. And she said, I'm going to commit to all the children, but particularly I'm going to focus on Teddy. And she did that. And he started to slowly, like a sunflower with the sun on it, started to open up. And his marks started to improve. And he started to come out of himself. And in America, as you know, they go up in their school, they go right up to Christmas. Mm. And so the kids were bringing Christmas presents for Mrs. Thompson, Miss Thompson. And of course, the parents of those kids had a hand in that. And they were excited to see the presents that Miss Thompson got. And then there was this oddly wrapped brown paper package. Like the kind that I would use. You know, I'm really not very good at wrapping presents. But, you know, with the wrong kind of sticky tape and just odd. And she opened it and out came a bracelet with stones missing and a half a bottle of perfume. And the kids at first laughed, like, you know, what is this in comparison to all the others? But she made a fuss about this. How wonderful. Just look how beautiful this bracelet looks on my arm. And what about this perfume? It's amazing. And they all agreed and they went away. And only Teddy stayed. And he shyly came up to her and he said, Mrs. Thompson, that was my mom's bracelet. And that was her perfume. You know, what a thing. Anyway, so he carried on, obviously went through her class, went to the next class, went to the next class. And in the next 10 years, she received 3 to 4 letters. Firstly, when he went to high school, he said, I'm applying what you taught me and I'm doing reasonably well. Sometimes that's tough, but I still think you're the best teacher ever. And then he went to university. And he says, my goodness, it's a leap up, but, you know, I'm doing well. Thank you, Miss Thompson. You're the best teacher ever. And then the third letter, Miss Thompson, as of today, I am Teddy Stollard, medical doctor. Now, what a thing. But it didn't stop there, because he sent a fourth letter. He said, "Miss Thompson, I'm getting married in June, and my dad's no longer alive. And I wondered if you'd be there to play the role of giving me away, you know, giving me away, of blessing us." And she said, "Oh, absolutely." You know, and he came up to her after the ceremony and he said, "Miss Thompson, thank you so much for this. You know, you taught me what it means to be, you were the best teacher ever." And of course, by that time, she'd kind of clicked into this principle, choosing service over self-interest. And she said, "Teddy, you were the one who taught me." Listeners, that's a story, I know. But the point is, don't forget that you and I, we have the opportunity to choose service over self-interest. The fourth one is, I choose to focus forward. I can focus on what isn't working, why it can't be done, who's to blame. And I wonder if you've ever been in that company where people are pointing fingers. But the opposite of that is, I can focus on what is working, how it can be done, and what I want to achieve. I can be part of the solution or part of the problem. It kind of bumps into another book, The Growth Mindset. I will move from "yeah, but" to "yes, and what if." You know, imagining solutions and focusing on what you have rather than what you don't have. You know, listeners, I drove here, and like all cars, there's a big windscreen and there's a small mirror that you use to check your sides, etc. You must use your rearview mirror, but you can't drive forward constantly looking in at the rear. You've got to look forward. And so it is. We can't allow whatever may have happened or should have happened or I wish it happened in the past to affect our forward mobility. Focus forward. What else is there? What can I learn from this? And that reminds me of another story, an amazing story. The Hoyts. Rick and Dick Hoyt. I think that Dick is the father and Rick is the son. And there are three or four other children in the picture. But because of a mistake in the hospital, he was born with cerebral palsy. It wasn't something, you know, it was something that happened because of a medical thing. Lots of people, when they saw Rick, they said, "Look, you," to the father and the mother, "you've got to put him into a hospital, into a special treatment center. That it's going to be so intensive, it's going to demand all sorts of things." And they refused to. They said, "We're going to treat our son Rick just like our other three kids." Yeah. And you see pictures of him in the pool, and you know, obviously with flotation devices, etc. Anyway, the short story is that a university that was part of their town helped devise a laptop way for Rick, who is totally paralyzed with cerebral palsy, to use his eyes to type. I mean, that's amazing. And I think he was maybe of the age of about 14, 15, 16 when he was able to do that. And his parents were wondering, you know, is he going to say, "Mom, Dad, you know, I can talk," or whatever. And instead, he commented on, because he'd watch TV, and they didn't know whether he was taking it in or not. He said, "Go, let's call it Stormers," whatever the local football team was, American football. Anyway, sometime after that, he'd said, "Dad, I see that there's a 5-kilometer run, fun run. I want to be a part of that." Now, of course, he couldn't run. So what his dad did, he said, "Okay, I'll push you with his wheelchair." And that, listeners, was the beginning of 1,100 events, where that 5 kilometer became triathletes.
Marathons,
triathlons. That's what I was trying to get at. Amazing. This and the exhilaration that this person, that Rick, felt in completing those things, and the sense of serving that the father had. You see, they could have focused on what went wrong, and you know, it was the hospital's fault. But they didn't do that. They said, okay, what can we do with what we have? And that changed not only their lives, but they started a foundation which has changed. I think it's called You Can. I can imagine what that means. You Can, and hundreds, if not thousands, of people's lives have been impacted by this story. Amazing what you can do if you focus forward. And then the final one is, I choose to play to my genius. Remember that genius is not Einstein. It's genius is the particular way in which you've been crafted, the strengths and that you've got. And they say, my work is my signature. It's a statement about me. It determines my reputation. I will make it a masterpiece. To know that my work counts is to know that I count. If I engage in work that makes me come alive, you know what? The world will beat a path to my door. I will add value. Which leads me to the final story that I want to share, Richard, about Johnny the Bagger. You know, not beggar, bagger. The person in the grocery store that bags your groceries. He was a young man, is a young man with Down syndrome. And the supermarket was trying to raise the engagement level of the staff. And this is now a supermarket chain. Let's like Spar or Checkers or so. And there were 500 people in this auditorium. Johnny was one of them. And the lady who was talking about, you know what? Don't ever say of yourself that you can't make a difference. You can make a difference. And she emphasized that. And somehow it just clicked with Johnny. He didn't know what he could do, etc. And he went to her and he said, I like what you talked about, but at first I didn't think I could do anything special for our customers. After all, I'm just a beggar. Let me pause, listeners, and ask, do you sometimes say, I'm just a and you say things like, I'm just a housewife, I'm just a worker, I'm just a student, etc., as if that defines who you are. Remember, you make your choices and your choices make you. Anyway, Johnny went home and he discussed this with his very involved mom. And, he had this interest in sharing little motivational nuggets. By the way, listeners, that's something I do twice a week. I send out entrepreneurial nuggets. But he would capture these things, and he loved to think about it himself. And his mom said, well, why don't you take those, and we'll type them out, and you can share it with your customers. And he thought that was a great idea. So let's say he cut out about 50 of these, and then as they were he was bagging, he would put them inside there. One-liners, etc. A couple of weeks went by, and the manager came and noticed that there were 6 or 7 lines open, but the one spot, there was this long line of people, and he went to them and said, excuse me, you know, there are other things open. And they said, oh, no, we don't want to go there. We want to go there because Johnny's there. And we get this little thing. And like the people actually said what it meant to them. One woman said, you know, I used to shop here like once or twice a month. I now come here every week. That choice that this Johnny made, small, but he didn't think of himself just as a beggar. He added something. It impacted both the butcher and the florist in the store. The florist said, you know, sometimes I get a flower that's broken on the stem, and now I'm going to look for a customer and give the flower. Another, the butcher put a sticker or something on the meat that it would go out. The point is, they saw something in Johnny that they hadn't seen before. Listeners, choose to play to your genius. Five choices. Choose to be a player in life. Choose to be accountable. Choose service over self-interest. Choose to focus forward. And choose to play to your genius. Maybe the shifts won't be massive. But I can say, as someone who has tried to apply some of this, it has made all the difference in my own life.
Awesome stuff. The name of the book again, Steve?
The name of the book, listeners and Richard, is Boom, Seven Choices for Blowing the Doors of Business as Usual by Kevin and Jackie Freiberg.
All right, there we go. Steve, awesome stuff. Thank you very, very much. And we are running out of time, but just before we go, a quick heads up about the course that you're offering. And just give people a rundown. I know that I think that Judy put it onto our social media, but if you can just reinforce that.
Certainly. Listeners, there's something about choices, but it links into a principle, another book, which I'll also refer to in the future, called The Growth Mindset. And, you know, we can choose to move out of a fixed mindset and over time move towards a growth mindset. Again, that will make all the difference in our lives, in our businesses, in our families, etc. So I'm going to be running a course. It lasts 4 hours, so it's probably going to be split over two sessions, 2 hours, 2 hours. And it's the listeners or the participants would get a manual, and there's a little certificate as well. And I hope to start it in March.
Okay.
And I wondered if, Richard, because you're mentioning it on air, I wondered if listeners were interested in it. I am going to charge for it, but I think it's a very fair cost. It's 400 Rand.
It's 100 Rand an hour. It's not a lot.
Correct. Mm. Yep. And, I would ideally, it will be done virtually.
Mm.
Alternatively, we can, by arrangement, have it done here in the deep south somewhere. Mm. But it would be great to have an indication from the listeners.
Minimum number you need?
I'd like to have 10.
Yeah, at
10
least people, you can get engaging, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yeah. That's a lovely point. Mm. You can do it one-on-one, but the magic comes when there's other people as well.
All right. Well, I think that's on our Facebook page somewhere. I'll ask Judy to repost it if it and sort of move it, because social media moves so fast. Maybe just move it up and see what she says about that. But that is awesome stuff, folks. 400 Rand, not a lot. You don't even have to leave the comfort of your own home, and you can participate in that session with Steve. Steve, thanks very much. We're saying 2 weeks' time we're going to have somebody talking to these points. Is that my understanding?
That's correct.
All right. I just want you to say the name of the book again one more time for those that have a short memory like me.
So, Boom, as if it's exploded, Seven Choices for Blowing the Doors of Business as Usual.
All right. Thank you very much, Steve. There was one comment that came in that said, never underestimate the impact of that someone has on your life.
Wonderful.
Absolutely.
Thank you for that comment.
All right. Thank you, Steve. We'll see you in 2 weeks' time.
Thanks, Richard. Thanks, listeners.